Recording in progress.
Okay, so we'll begin. As I mentioned, we'll begin with some hashkafos of the Seder, and then we'll talk about some of the halachos as well. The Seder we know is a very important night of the year. I always mention it's one of the two nights of the year that I believe all Jews, not just Orthodox Jews, have some sort of service, and that's Kol Nidre, the night of the Seder. Their Seder might not look exactly like ours. I think it starts a little earlier and probably ends a little earlier also. And, probably skip some things in the middle. But, but they have something. They have something. And so, too, the night of Kol Nidre, of course, people always do some sort of Kol Nidre service. They view Yom Kippur as a very important day, which it is. And they also view the night of the Seder as a very important night, which it is. Now, why is the night of the Seder so important? So there's many different approaches, and we've shared some in the past. But tonight, I want to share a couple of perspectives that I saw brought by Rav Daniel Glatzin, who's a local Rav right here, a wonderful speaker and author. And in his Haggadah, he shares a couple of very interesting perspectives on what the essence of the night of the Seder really is. Now, we know that there are many things that we eat at the Seder, right? Of course, we eat matzah. That's perhaps the most primary, but creates the biggest mess. Matzah is one of the few mitzvos d'oraisa we have at the Seder. We eat maror, we have korech, we have shulchan orech, etc. We have dalan kosas, of course, which is very prominent, and we'll talk more about that perhaps on Shabbos. And then we have things that we say. Things that we say. Now, in terms of what we say, so the main focus, of course, is on the mitzvah of Magid, or what we call Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim is the mitzvah to recite, to tell the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Now, there's a famous question of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik asks, how is this mitzvah different than the mitzvah that we do each and every day? Every single day we say Kriyat Shema. Every single day we have a mitzvah to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim. We mention it in the morning. We mention it in the evening in the third paragraph of Kriyat Shema. We talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim in the bracha of Gal Yisrael. We have a long discussion about Yitzias Mitzrayim. We mention the miracles. So what's so special about the night of the Seder? Every single night we have Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's a mitzvah. It's one of the Tariag mitzvos, right? Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. Women are obligated in Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's not a mitzvah Sasei Shas Montgomery. You do it in the morning and at night, all day. So what is fundamentally different about this mitzvah? Now, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik pointed out a couple of important differences, a couple of important nuances. But in terms of the fundamental perspective of why this is different, so Rav Glatzin shares three approaches, and we'll see some of them are related. Approach number one. We know that the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is learned from the pasuk of the Higadata Levincha Bayom Hahulemor. Pasuk in Shemos, Perek, Yud Gimel, Pasuk Ches, V'higadata Levincha Parshas Bo, V'higadata Levincha Bayom HaHuleimor. On this day, you're supposed to tell your sons, tell your children, Va'avur Zeh Asa Hashem Li B'Tesi Mitzrayim. Hashem did this to me when we came out of Mitzrayim, Va'avur Zeh, for the following reason. And you tell the whole story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So what's the mitzvah? V'higadata Levincha. We call it Magid. That's the section of the Haggadah that we refer to when we talk about telling the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. What does that word mean? Magid, lehagid, v'higadta. So very simply, you would say it means to tell, right? To tell the story. However, if you look in some of the different mafarshim, they share slightly different meanings, nuances of difference in terms of the meanings of what this word v'higadta really means. So let's take number one, the Targum Yonasan. The Targum Yonasan says that the word, he doesn't say it here in the context of this word, but he says it in the context of Mikra Bikurim. We know one of the parts of the Haggadah of Magid is we say this parsha of Arami Oved Avi. And we talk about, this is the parsha that was said when they brought the Bikurim. What were the Bikurim? The first fruits. The farmer brought his first fruit to the Beis HaMikdash, and he says this paragraph, Arami Oved Avi. And the apostle tells us, the Torah tells us in Devarim Perek Chavav, that when the farmer comes to the Kohen, and he tells him, "Yamarta ilav, higadati hayom laHashem Elokecha. Higadati, I told. Higadati hayom. So what does that mean? Says the Targum Yonasan right there. Higadati hayom. You should tell him, tell the Kohen, Odinon Yom HaDein. What's Odinon? Today I thank Kodem Hashem Elokach. Today I thank Hashem. He gadati la hayom la Hashem Elokach. It doesn't just mean I'm telling. I'm not just telling. I'm thanking. I'm thanking Lahodos. I'm thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The farmer, of course, is thanking Hashem. He's thrilled. He has bikurim. He has fruits. He's very thrilled. He's very happy. But when it comes to us, we are also very happy. He got it to Yayom. He got it to Yayom. We thank the Ribbono Shel Olam. And if you look at the Rambam in his Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvah Sase Kuf Nun Zayin, so the Rambam describes that what is this mitzvah? The mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzvah. What's this mitzvah? He says as much. We say the words Kol Amar Bahareze Meshubach. Right, the more you do it, the more you tell the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, it's more praiseworthy. So he says, V'chol Mashi Yosef, the more you can tell, V'yarich HaDvarim, and the more you elaborate, V'hagdolas Masha Osalanu Hashem, the greatness of what Hashem did for us, U'Masha Osu Yimanu HaMitzrim, May Ovel V'chol Mas, all the terrible things that the Mitzrim did to us, and then all the wonderful things that the Ribbono Shel Olam did to us when he brought us down, V'yichlokach Hashem Nikmaseinu Mehem, and Hashem took revenge. He avenged our slavery from these Mitzrim. Uvaholdos lo yisbarach. And to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam, al ma shegmalonu mechasodav yiyeh yosetov. The more we can tell the story, ulaholdos lo yisbarach. And to thank Hashem. It's not just about telling the story, but telling the story because that's the way that we thank Hashem. When we tell the story and we recount all of the miracles and all the wonders of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's in essence Hakara Satov. And this is number one. The first fundamental of the night of the Seder is Hakara Satov. To thank the Ribbono Shel Olam, Lahodos Ulahalo, for the wonderful Nisim that he did with us. And that's the message that we're giving over to our children. Yeah.
The only place that I can think Mahakara is say Dayenu, but we don't say thank, praise, you know.
We have Hallel. Hallel is a big part of the Seder. At the end of Magid, we say a shortened version of Hallel. Right? We say part of it there, part of it later. But if you look through the Haggadah, I think you'll find more than you think. It's true. That's not the only thing that we talk about, of course, right? But I think you find more than I think you'll realize that there's more than you thought before. I'll just point out. I think the bracha, if I'm not mistaken, at the end of Magid, yeah, that bracha is all about, you know, I mean, obviously we said, right? So that's certainly part of what we say at the end of Magid. And then we make the bracha, right? So too, we daven Hashem should bring us to the other Yomim Tovim, Smeichim Vinyan Shalim, etc. V'noda lecha Shir Chadash, and then we'll sing again another Shir Chadash. The clear indication and implication of that bracha is that at least part of what we're doing here is lahodos ulahala. We're davening for the ultimate geula. This was one geula. We hope for another geula. But certainly, it seems like there's an integral component of lahodos ulahala.
The thank you is talking about it is the thank you.
Correct. Oh, yeah.
That's
yes, that's also true. Right. You're right. He's saying talking about it itself is the thank you, even if we're not mentioning the words Lahodu Sulaha, which we do mention. But even if we don't, just the recounting of the Nes itself is the Hoda. Excellent. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, Targum Unklus, on the Pasuk in Bo of Higara to Levincha, points out, he translates this word, v'higarat levincha, usechave livrach, v'yoma hahu lememar. What's usechave livrach? What's sechave or techave in Aramaic? It means to show or to demonstrate. To show or to demonstrate. And this is fundamental number two, is that, and this is how Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is totally different. Right? I'm sorry, I should have clarified that. The first approach also clarifies for us why Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is different. Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim is just mentioning the Nes. Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim includes a Hodah within it. That's number one. Now number two, Usachavi to demonstrate Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim mentioning. You mention the Yitzias Mitzrayim, that you fulfilled the mitzvah, Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. The night of the Seder is different because there it's about demonstrating. It's about showing. As the Rambam says, Chayav Adam leharos es atzmo ki'ilu hu ata yotza mimitzrayim. The Rambam says, and we paraphrase these words at the Seder, on the night of the Seder, we're supposed to demonstrate like we are coming out of Mitzrayim now. You all know the famous minhagim. The Sfarim have these minhagim, right? They whip each other with leeks. That's a favorite one of the Ashkenazim, right? I've said this many times. You know, I'm sure some of you have heard it here. My brother-in-law is Syrian. So the first time he was at our Seder, besides the fact that he brought his lafas with him, you know, that was good. I tasted them. They're not all that good, by the way. They're not amazing. But whatever. But in addition to bringing his lafas with him, he also took the matzah, you know, wrapped it up, slung it over his shoulder, and walked around the dining room. We're like, Shlomo, where are you going? He's like, what do you mean? I'm leaving Mitzrayim. Right? That's the minhag. In their family, that's what they do. Right? In their community, that's what they do. Because this is what it's about. It's about demonstrating. You're not just saying it. You're not just telling the story. You're demonstrating Yitzias Mitzrayim. You're supposed to show as though I'm leaving Yitzias Mitzrayim right now. We eat maror so that we experience the bitterness. Right? We drink red wine because that demonstrates the blood to us. We have charosas on the table because that looks like the mortar that they use. All of these things we're doing to bring it to life. Matzah, that's what they ate. That's what they had coming out of Mitzrayim. That's what we eat. So we're doing it to demonstrate, to show and to demonstrate what Yitzias Mitzrayim is all about. And that's how it's fundamentally different than the regular mitzvah of mentioning Yitzias Mitzrayim every single day and every single morning and every single night. So that's number two, to demonstrate. That's how it's different. Number three, and also a very important one, and perhaps the most important, he calls this one the gem. The gem of Rashi. Rashi says, a few psukim earlier, but on the words of Yigarat HaLevincha, Rashi says something fascinating. What's the Yigarat HaLevincha? He says, first of all, we know that this parsha appears twice in the Chumash. Once here, and another time in, I believe it's in Dvarim. And he says, why do we have these two times, these two parshios? He says, that one's talking about the Rasha. That parsha in the Torah is talking about the Rasha. This parsha, the Yigarat HaLevincha, this is the Ben She'eno Yodea Lishol. That's who's asking the question here. And what do you do? The Akosuv Melamedcha, says Rashi, the Pasuk is teaching you. What do you do? She'tiftach lo ata. He doesn't have a question. This is the Ben She'eno Yodea Lishol. He doesn't have a question. So you have to open him up. How do you open him up? B'divrei Agada Hamoshchenes Halev. You open him up with Divrei Agada. What are Divrei Agada? Stories. Stories. And these stories are Moshchenes Halev, okay? And what is that based on? So Rabbi Glassman points out, this is based on a pasuk later in Shmos and Parshas Yisro, where the Torah says, Moshe Rabbeinu was coming, he got the Torah, and he comes to teach the Torah to Bnei Yisrael. So what does the pasuk say? Vayageid Moshe es divrei ha'am el Hashem. Vayageid Moshe. Moshe tells the words of Hashem tells the words of the people to Hashem, right? Vayageid Moshe. Says the Gemara, what is Vayageid Moshe? Devarim Shemoshchin Libo Shel Adam Ke'agada. Just like stories draw a person in, right? You tell a person a story, it draws them in. That's the power of storytelling. You draw a person in. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing. He explained to Bnei Yisrael Matan Schar. He explained to Bnei Yisrael the Schar, the great reward they're going to get by keeping the Torah. That drew them in. Just like Divrei Agada draws you in. Explains to Rabbi Glassman. That you see from here, how's Rashi understanding the word Vihigata to Levincha? Not just to tell, to draw them in. The purpose of Vihigata to Levincha is to tell the stories in a way that draws them in, that draws the children in, that keeps their attention, keeps them awake. We know the Gemara is full, the Gemara of Pesachim, on Daf Kuf Tes. Everybody jokes, right? Why do we do this mitzvah night of the Seder? Why do we do that mitzvah night of the Seder? So that the kids will ask, right? It's a joke. Everybody jokes about it. But in reality, the Gemara says that many times. Why? Because there are so many things at the Seder that we do just to arouse the curiosity of the children so that they should ask, and that will catapult us into a conversation about Yitzias Mitzrayim, about the Nisim. You want to draw them in. You don't just tell the story. Now again, you see the difference between Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim every morning and every night. That's just telling it. That's talking about the Nes. That's not drawing anybody in. And Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, he got it to Levincha to draw them in, to draw their hearts into this idea, the notions, the concepts, everything that Yetzias Mitzrayim presents. So I think these are three very important hashkafos of the night of the Seder of what we're trying to do. Of course, we're trying to communicate to the next generation, but how, what are we trying to do? So again, number one, we're trying to demonstrate Hakaras HaTov. He got it to Yayom, like Arami Ovid Ovi, to demonstrate Hakaras HaTov. That's what the night is all about. Lehodos Ulahalo, to tell the story, and through that story, thank the Ribono Shel Olam for all that he did. And of course, in the process, teach our children and grandchildren all about Hakaras HaTov and how that's a fundamental moral and value of the Jewish people. Number two, to show and to demonstrate Yetzias Mitzrayim, to bring it alive, to make it come alive for our children and our grandchildren, the next generations, because that's how we really inculcate the lessons and the values that we're talking about, by making it come alive, by demonstrating and showing them all about Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then finally, the Higadot, like Rashi says, Divrei Agada Shemoshken Es Halev, to draw them in, to open them up, to open their hearts. These are the things that we're trying to do on the night of this Seder. Yitz Hashem, we should all have Hatzlocha, Tziyat Lishmaya, doing these things together. Okay, let's go through some of the halachos of the Seder. And some of these things we know. Some of these things might be might be reviewed for us. Some of them might be somewhat new. We're going to go a little bit quickly, just because there's a lot to talk about the night of the Seder. But of course, I'm happy to help clarify anything. If you want anything clarified further, I'm happy to do so. Okay, we'll go chronologically, just from the beginning. Number one, the best thing to do is to prepare in advance as much as possible. Why? So that the children will remain awake, and so that the adults will remain awake. Right? We want everyone to be awake. Tonight, it's this year, it's the Seder is Monday night, right? Which means Monday is a work day for some people, and which means people are going to come to the Seder tired. It's not like when the Seder is Motzei Shabbos and everybody gets a nap, or Sunday, maybe you get a nap. But Monday, it's unlikely that we're all going to get naps for the Seder. So try to prepare as much as we can in advance, so that as soon as nightfall hits, as soon as Seisak Kochavim hits, we can get the Seder started right away. Just by way of introduction, there are five main mitzvos of the Seder that we're going to do. Two of them, as we mentioned before briefly, are Deoraisa, that's Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matzah. Erev Tochel Matzah, so you have a mitzvah midoraisa to eat matzah even these days. And there are three mitzvahs midirabanan, excuse me, arba kosos, maror, and halal. Right? Arba kosos, maror, and halal, these are the three mitzvahs midirabanan. So five total mitzvahs the night of the Seder. Okay, let's go through Kaddish. So Kaddish, of course, is the mitzvah of Kiddush. On its most basic level, we have a chiyuv to make Kiddush every night of Yontif, just like every night of Shabbos. Right, so Shabbos we have a mitzvah to make kiddush, and Yontif we have a mitzvah to make kiddush as well. There is a machlokas if it's daoraisa like Shabbos with the rabbanon. Most assume it's midrabbanon. We know that this is the first cup of the arba kostos. The arba kostos, of course, are based on the four languages of geula, vahotzeisi, v'yitzalti, v'gaalti, v'lakachti. We also drink these four cups corresponding to different parts of the seder. This is how the way Chazal established it is that we say kiddush ala kos, magid ala kos, benching alakos, and halal alakos. Those are the four sections of the Haggadah which are recited over the coast. And these, in a sense, it's a kosher bracha, and that's where we drink them. Wine is definitely preferred because that demonstrates the aspect of cheirus more. The poskim say that if it's at least 5% alcohol, that's considered wine. Less than 5% is pretty much grape juice already at that point. You don't really feel the effect of the alcohol. No. Rashi light? Yeah. I think it's not three. It's less than five? Really? Four? Is it four?
Martinover is five.
Five or six, yeah. Yeah. Rashi light, I don't know. I gotta look again. I don't know. I don't think it's three. I don't think it's 3%. But we'll take a look. Wine is definitely preferred. Like I mentioned, you should try to push yourself to drink wine. We'll see the amounts you have to drink. People think you have to drink like these exorbitant, amounts of wine. It's not really true. And if you drink a low alcohol wine and you drink the minimum shear, you're not going to end up drinking all that much throughout the night of the Seder. So it's not going to be that difficult to do it. We'll discuss the minimums. Obviously, if wine will make a person sick or bedridden or someone's allergic to wine or allergic to grapes, so that's a different story. I'm sorry? We'll talk about liking it in a minute. If you just don't like wine, you should still try to drink wine. Try to find the wine that you like. You know, I mean, there's a lot of different types of wine out there. So maybe there's a wine that you'll like. Red wine is definitely preferred. As we know, it symbolizes the blood, as we mentioned. If you like white better, so then you can certainly use white wine. Some have the middle that you try to make it a little bit pink. You know, add a little red in. Some are machmir to put the red in first and then the white, so it's not sovea. Because if I have clear wine and I add a little red, it makes it red, which could be a problem of sovea. But many posts can point out that's really a chumrah, because the Ramah says ain't sviya ba'ochlin, and generally when it comes to food things, we're not worried about sovea. So either way you go, you're really okay. But there is a chumrah to put the red, a little bit of red in first, and then the white. If a person really cannot drink wine, so then the next best thing to do, second best, is to mix wine with grape juice, wine and grape juice together. So at least you have some alcohol there. If you can't even do that, so then you can drink grape juice. You would say grape juice. But again, a person should try to push themselves to drink wine at the Seder. And again, we'll discuss the shiurim in a moment. We'll see it's not really that much. Everyone must drink the Dalet Kosos, even women, even though you would say it's a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, positive time-bound commandment. Nonetheless, women are obligated because of afhein hayu ba'oso anes, which means they were also included in the miracle. According to some, it means they were responsible for the miracle, because the Chazal tell us that bizchus nashim tzidkanios, in the merit of the righteous Jewish women in Mitzrayim, we were redeemed. Right? The men kind of gave up hope, and the women were the ones who always retained the hope and said to the men, come on guys, you could do this, and got us eventually out of Mitzrayim. So that's why the women are also obligated to drink the four cups. Yes, obligated with a shear, just like men. No difference when it comes to the Arba Kosos. Many have the minhag that someone else pours the wine for the balabayas, also a demonstration of Cherus, a demonstration of Malchus, perhaps. Some have the minhag in their homes that everyone at the table, you know, doesn't pour their own cup, you pour for someone else. That's how I grew up. Nobody at the table pours their own cup. Everybody pours for someone else. It's not a halacha. If you can't find someone, just pour your own cup. It's okay. You know, you don't have to like wake someone up, you know, for them to pour your cup of wine. But it's a minhag. It's a minhag. And again, I think the minhag of the balabais is pretty prevalent. And for everyone else in the home is, some have that minhag. Okay. Now, in terms of the amounts, so let's clarify. There's two different discussions when it comes to amounts. Number one is how big your kos has to be. Okay. How big must your kos be? And number two, how much must you drink? Those are two different questions, because there's one halacha, the size of the kos. But even if once I clarify the size of the kos, that doesn't mean I have to drink that whole thing. Now, how much do I have to drink? So let's do one at a time. In terms of the size of the kos, so it's clear from the halacha that the kos must hold a revius. Okay, now, how much is the revius? So if you, there is a machlokus, of course, how much a revius is. The Chazon Ish held the revius was approximately 5 ounces, a little more than 5 ounces. Whereas Rav Chaim Noah holds that it's a little bit, it's around 3 ounces. Okay, and the way that the way that you remember this is that Rav Chaim Noah holds 86 cc's, even though we don't measure our liquids in cc's, unless you're a chemist, but 86 cc's, which is the gematria of kos. Kos is the gematria 86, that's Rav Chaim Noah's shita, and the Chazon Ish holds 150 cc's, which is kos hagun. Kos hagun is 150. That's an easy way to remember the two. The Ikar halacha follows Rav Chaim Noah, and not the Chazon Ish. And that's why, according to many, you can certainly rely on Rav Chaim Noah that 3 ounces is a revius. Now, just to picture this in your head, this cup, I believe, is 5 ounces, I think. I think this is a 5 ounce cup. So even according, and this is a pretty small plastic cup. So even according to the Chazon Ish, this is sufficient, essentially, maybe a drop more than this, is sufficient for your kos of Dalet Kosos. According to Chaim Noah, you just need three. So if you picture one shot glass, like one of those little plastic shot glasses, that's 1 ounce. So imagine three of those together, okay? That's 3 ounces. It's not all that much. It's not all that much, and that's the size of a revius according to Rav Chaim Na. There are those that hold that if it's Shabbos, then it's Del Raisa, you should use a bigger cup. Okay, different opinions. Rav Moshe held it was a little bigger. He held it was about 4.42, you know, ounces, which is still less than this. So you're not talking about a huge cup. Now, sometimes people have, you know, my becher that I got for my wedding is probably twice the size of this. I probably have, it's probably 10 ounces, right? So yeah, if you're using a huge becher that holds 10 ounces, it's like double the chazanish. So of course you're going to feel woozy and sick after you drink 4 cups of that, right? So you have to understand, you know, what size coast you have, and so you can measure it. I've had cups where I wasn't sure. I just measured it. I took a little shot glass. It was 1 ounce, and I kept pouring it in, you know, until I filled it up, and I see it's a 2 ounce cup, it's a 3 ounce cup, whatever it is. A lot of the old Bechers are smaller, and the new Bechers they like to make bigger, you know, because it's more expensive, so they make it bigger. They're all big, yeah, yeah.
You don't have to drink the whole thing.
We'll get to drinking. Right now, we're just talking about the size. Okay, so that's in terms of the size. Again, you can rely on Rav Chaim Na, 3 ounces. 3 ounces, so a pretty small cup. It's not such a big deal. Okay, now, how much must you drink? Okay, now, the Gemara says that a person has to drink Rov Kos. That's what the Gemara says, Rov Kos. Now, what kind of Kos are we talking about? So presumably, we're talking about a Revius, right? You're using a cup that's a Revius. That's the Halacha. So I'm drinking Rov of the Revius. Rov of the Revius. Tosfos points out that's mole lugma. That's a cheekful. That's what's required, and that's the majority of a revius. Now, that means many posts can point out that if the Gemara tells you got to drink rov revius, usually when do we say rov? Rubo kekulo. So that means lechatchila you got to drink the whole revius, but you can get away with drinking the majority of the revius. That means if you're using a cup that's 3 ounces, lechatchila you drink all 3 ounces, lechatchila, but you know, certainly to be Yotzei, you just need to drink a little more than half, right? Rov. So you're talking about 1.6 ounces, which again is not that much. If you drink low alcohol wine and you drink 1.6 ounces of that low alcohol wine, or you want to be machmir, 2 ounces, right? You're talking about 2 shots of low alcohol wine. That's not a lot, right? You do that once, you separate it again, after magi, you do it again. You're not gonna get that sick. You're not gonna get that nauseous, and it should be something that people can handle. There is an opinion that a person should there's an opinion of the Ramban that a person has to drink Rov Kos no matter how big your Kos is. So even if you're using a 10 ounce Kos, you got to drink, you know, more than 5 ounces of that kos. Okay? Now that's already a chumrah. It's the Ramban's opinion. It's a chumrah. If you're using a big kos and that's what you have and that's what you're stuck with, you don't have to follow that opinion. You could still drink Rov Revius, which is a Mali Lugmav, and Biyotze. But the post can say, better not to use such a big kos. Why get yourself into that question? Just don't use such a big kos. Use a 3 ounce kos. Use a 5 ounce kos. You don't have to use a 10 ounce kos. And then get yourself into this question of, do I have to drink the majority of the cup? Do I not have to drink the majority of the cup? It's not necessary. Fine. So that's in terms of how much to drink. Yeah. Okay, so someone who's a diabetic is a good question. And I would say, talk to me privately, because there's a lot of intricate halachos. The Star K has a great section in their book where they go through minimum shiurim and how to dilute and really, really minimum shiba minimum. You know, for people, you know, obviously people that are diabetics who have other medical conditions, there's more room for leniency than a regular person, you know, who's healthy and might not like wine or whatever. So that's you know, you can talk about that privately, but there are guidelines, halachic guidelines for people like that in those kind of categories. Okay, so many of you probably have heard that there's an inyan to use non-mevushal wine. For the Dalet Kostos. Now, why? What's special about non-mevushal wine? So, very simply, mevushal wine, some hold that you can never use mevushal wine for Kiddush at all, ever. Why? Because wine that was mevushal could not be brought onto the Mizbeach. It was possible for Nisuch HaYayin on the Mizbeach. So because it's possible for the Mizbeach, you can't use it for Kiddush. So that's an opinion that some have. The Shulchan Aruch does bring this opinion, but generally we don't paskin this way, and that's why we know whenever we make kiddush, we do use mevushal wine for kiddush. We're not makbid to have only non-mevushal wine for kiddush. Now, some people are machmir about it on Pesach. However, if you look in the sources, there's no real clear reason why specifically to be machmir for Pesach and not for every kiddush. So if you're machmir for Pesach, you should really be machmir for every Shabbos and every Yontif to have non-mevushal wine, number one. Number two, even the non-mevushal wine nowadays is still pasteurized. And if it's pasteurized, it's also going to be possible for the Mizbeach. So even non-mevushal wine nowadays is really possible for the Mizbeach also. So therefore, I remember my Rav Rabbi Berger said, you don't really gain that much by using non-mevushal wine. People get all excited, non-mevushal. You don't gain that much by using non-mevushal wine the night of the Seder. So certainly if there's wine that you don't, and he says certainly if there's wine you don't like, that's also not good, because the Rambam talks about, Jimmy asked before, what about if you don't like it? The Rambam says you should try to find the wine that you like. And that's why if you prefer white wine, use white wine. You can make it a little pink, you know, but use a wine that you like. You want to enjoy the wine of the Dalet Kosos. That's part of the mitzvah to enjoy it. So if you're not going to enjoy it, and certainly if you take some of these non-mevushal wines, the heavy cream, you know, non-mevushal wines, you don't really enjoy them. So it kind of defeats the purpose of what we're trying to do. So you don't really gain that much. In terms of who says Kiddush, so of course the Baal HaBayis says Kiddush, some of the minhag that everybody at the table says Kiddush, or all of the men say Kiddush, whatever your minhagim are fine. Obviously, you know the night of the Seder, there are many minhagim. We drink reclining to our left. Of course, that's mitzvah of Heseba. The general minhag is that women are not, either do not do Heseba or are not as particular about it. If they don't do it, they certainly, if they drink without it, they certainly don't have to repeat it. I remember my Rav mentioned an important thing that, if you want to drink water throughout the Seder, which, you know, you're going to get thirsty, so you should have in mind when you make Kiddush that you want to drink water, or have the water on the table so that your Bar Priya Gafen covers the water that you're going to drink. You don't have to get into a Shahako question. Okay, after Kaddish comes Urchatz. We wash our hands. We know we wash without a bracha before eating karpas. This is because Chazal require a person to wash before eating any type of fruit or vegetable that has come in contact with water. Because water or some other liquid, one of the seven liquids, can transfer tumah from your hands onto this item. The only problem is that nowadays we know our minhag is that we don't do this. There are some who still do it, but generally speaking, we don't wash the tilas kedayim. Excuse me, before we have grapes that we just washed, or before we have cucumber that we just washed, we don't wash the tilas kedayim. So why do we do it the night of the Seder? The Shulchan Aruch actually paskins one should always do it without a bracha. Again, we don't generally do that. That's not our minhag. So why do we do it at the Seder? The Taz asks this question, why are we machmir the Seder? He asks it in the form of Manishtana Halayla Hazeh, right? Why is this night different from all other nights? All the other nights, we're not washing before eating vegetables dipped in liquid. How come tonight we are? So there's an answer of the Chok Yaakov who says that really, it's just, not kidding with this, to get the children to ask, right? Really, there is, our minhag is not to wash anymore. But we're doing this to get the children to ask, and if we get the children to ask, so then they're gonna, you know, then we can start talking about the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now it's interesting. In some households, only the Baal HaBayis washes. In some households, everybody at the table washes. So, for example, by my in-laws, everybody washes. I grew up only my father washed. Okay, what's the difference in these minhagim? So, if you hold the whole purpose of the minhag is to get the children to ask, not everyone has to wash. Just have the Baal HaBayis wash. All the kids are going to wonder why is Abba getting up and washing the Tilas Yedayim? We're about to have parsley or potatoes. Why is he washing the Tilas Yedayim? You know, they're going to ask. But if you hold that it's really part of the mitzvah of washing the Tilas Yedayim before vegetables dipped in liquid, and for some reason we're more stringent the night of the Seder because it's a holy night or whatever the case might be, right? So then really everybody should wash. So that kind of explains the different minhagim in the family. Most people do not lean, do not recline while eating karpas. There are some who do, but most do not. It's interesting. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav points out that just like when we wash for bread, we don't talk in between the washing and the hamotzi. So he says one should not make a hefsek gadol. So you know, to say one or two words is okay, but between the netilas yadayim and the karpas, you shouldn't make a hefsek gadol because it's still netilas yadayim, not on bread, but it's still netilas yadayim before something that requires it. So he says you should also not have a hefsek gadol. When it comes to karpas, we eat specifically less than a kazayis, even though you're hungry. And at that moment, there's nothing better than a baked boiled potato or some raw parsley, whatever you use for radishes or whatever you use for karpas. Even if you're hungry, you should eat less than a kazayis. That's because we don't want to get ourselves into a question of a bracha achrona because, whatever. I'm not getting into that reason now. It's a whole interesting machlokes about it. But we don't want to get into a suffic bracha achrona, and therefore we eat dafka less than a kazayis. We make the bracha borei pri adama. When we make that bracha, we also have the maror in mind. Why do we have the maror in mind? Because maror requires a borei pri adama. However, we're eating maror after we make hamotzi. So the question is maror part of the se'uda? If I have salad after I wash, I don't make a bracha on the salad. So is maror just like salad? Or no, maybe maror is something different. It's not part of the meal. It's a mitzvah. I'm not eating it. I'm not eating a salad as an appetizer. I'm eating the mitzvah of maror. So some say maror is not included in the hamotzi. So since there's a topic about a bracha rishona on the maror, so that's why we make the bracha bar pi adama on the karpas, and we have the maror in mind. If you didn't make your salt water before Yom Tov, you are allowed to make it on Yom Tov. You can't make salt water on Shabbos, but on Yom Tov you're allowed to. After karpas, yachatz is pretty straightforward. Yeah.
I know you said on YouTube, but what if someone does eat?
If you do eat a kazayis, it's a suffix. Yeah. Yeah. So you got yourself into a suffix. You don't make a bracha achrona because it's a suffix. Some brachas lahaka, but you got yourself into a suffix. So not the best thing to do. Okay, Magid. So throughout Magid, of course, we're telling the story. We learned just earlier that Magid is one of the two mitzvos d'oraisa on the night of the Seder. The minig is that we're lenient. You know, you shouldn't be schmoozing too much about other things during Magid, but it's not, there's no hefsek or anything like that. We're not worried about that. Women are chayavos in Magid. They are chayavos in the midst of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Sefer Achinuch holds attached to the midst of Doraisa for women as well. That doesn't mean that women have to stay exactly, on pace of where everybody else is. A lot of times women have to get up and they have to do something in the kitchen or they have to do something with the children or take care of something. So women are usually not sitting at the table as much as the men are. That's okay. They can catch up. Which parts of Magid are most important for the women to say? Number one, Avadim Hayinu, because that's the answer to the questions of Manishtana. All the women are there for Manishtana, because the kids are singing Manishtana. Avadim Hayinu is the answer. That's very important. Interestingly, the drashos of the psukim, when we darshan all the psukim, which on the face of it is like one of the driest parts of the Haggadah, but that's a very important part of the Haggadah as well. Of course, we know Rabban Gamliel, the three paragraphs of Rabban Gamliel, Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, because that's the essence of the mitzvot. And then Hallel at the end of Magid, that's also very important for women to be there. Those are the three parts of Rabban Gamliel.
The whole section,
yeah, that whole section. And again, even if they're not sitting there, they can make it up on their own. They don't have to. They can say it on their own. Now, everyone, not just women, should try to understand what they're saying. Right? The whole purpose of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is to recount the days and feel the thanks, as we mentioned, Hakaras Tatov, Elhodos Ulahalo. You have to understand what you're saying. So use an English Haggadah. Try to understand a little bit of what you're saying. The Haggadah can be said in English, right? If you have people that say who don't understand Hebrew or they can't read Hebrew and they want to read a paragraph in English, there's nothing wrong with that. Ideally, for us, especially if we can do the Hebrew, it's better to do the Hebrew and try to understand it. Also, the Haggadah was written in Hebrew, so of course everything is better in the language in which it was written. So it's certainly preferable to read it in Hebrew, but you can certainly read it in English and be yotze. Okay, let's talk about matzah for a couple minutes. We're almost done. When it comes to matzah, so we know we have the minute to use three matzos, and we have the broken one in the middle, and then we have two shleim. That's why we have three. We say it's kohen levi v'yisrael. But it's really the reason why we have three is because we need two shleimim plus the broken one. There are some shittos in the Rishonim, interestingly, who hold you don't need shleimim on the night of Pesach. Lechemoni. So they have one and a half matzahs. That's it. You have one shleim and one broken one. That's lechemoni. It's lechem mishnah, and you're good. You don't need two shleimim. But our minhag is that we do have two shleimim, and then that's what most people do. In order to be yotzei, you should really have a piece of the shalem, right? You want everybody at the table to have a piece of the shalem, because then that's how they're yotzei, the lechem mishnah. Some people give a piece of both, a piece of the broken one, a piece of the shalem, pass a little piece around to everybody at the table. And of course, you have to add, you don't have enough kezesim under your under your cover for everybody at the table, so you have to add. How much matzah do you have to eat? So technically speaking, you must eat one kezias of matzah on the night of the Seder. That's the technical obligation. Now the Shulchan Aruch says better to eat two kezesim. Okay, why? One for hamotzi and one for matzah. We have the regular hamotzi, and then we have the motzi matzah. We make two brachos, hamotzi lechem and haaretz, and motzi matzah. So Shulchan Aruch says better to have two kezesim, one for each of these aspects. Every yontif we have challah, you know, or something like that. This is a special mitzvah of matzah, so better to have two kezesim. It is a chumrah. It is a chumrah to have two kezesim. Some say that chumrah is only on the balabayas, who's making the brachos. He should have two kezesim, but it doesn't mean that everybody at the table has two kezesim. Some people are trying to be mocking that everybody at the table has two kezesim. As long as you have one kezias, you're yotze the mitzvah. Right? As long as you have one kezias, you're yotze the mitzvah. Now, how much is the kezias? So if you look, the Star K did a nice write-up about this as well. Approximately a quarter to a third of a hand matzah. If you look at a hand matzah, you take a quarter to a third of that hand matzah, depending on the thickness. If it's thicker, so then a quarter should be enough. If it's a little thinner, then you might need a third. A quarter to a third is one kezias. Now, if you want to be machmir to have two kezesim, right? So then, my Rav, I remember Rabbi Berger told us, if you want to be machmir for two kezesim, it's a chumra. So then you could be lenient on your kezias, because there's a machlok is how to judge the kezias. So you don't have to have two chumras. So you could be lenient on the sheer kezias if you're being machmir to have two kezesim. If you want to have two, he says two-fifths is enough. Two-fifths is enough if you want to have two kezesim. Okay, so for one kezias, you're talking about a quarter to a third of a hand matzah, and two kezesim, if you want to be machmir, two-fifths. Okay, so it's less than half of a matzah if you want to be machmir for two kezesim. For those who use machine, it's about 40% of a machine matzah, or a little more than a third if a person has trouble with it. Yeah. Not 100%. Yeah, I mean, they measure kezias there. Wow. Presumably, it's around the same. I don't know exactly what it is. Yeah. That, well, I think most of those mats are also for the machine matzah. So machine matzah is probably mostly the same thickness. You know, we know the hand matzah is not, right? Some hand matzah is very thin and some hand matzah is very thick. Now, the matzah, the one kezias has to be eaten toch kedei achilas pras, which means it should be eaten within 2 to 4 minutes. Okay, that's the most folks will say toch kedei achilas pras is 2 to 4 minutes. 2 minutes is pushing it to eat your whole kezias. Certainly not two kezias. So 2 minutes is going to be hard. 4 minutes, I think, is doable, right? You know, if you can't do 4 minutes, so then, you know, do as quickly as you can, you know, as close to that. Now, tied into this is that a person really should not be speaking while they're eating the matzah. Number one, because if you're talking, you're not going to be able to finish the matzah in the proper amount of time, right? You got to eat a kezias in 2 to 4 minutes. You're not going to be able to do that if you're schmoozing while you eat, you know? Two minutes? 60 seconds? I go for it, Joe. Yeah, try it. I don't know. I think it's hard to chew it, you know, but you could try. You could try. But that is the halacha. That is the halacha. We know that matzah should be shmura the night of the Seder. Some people have a minute to eat shmura matzah throughout. It's based on the pasuk of Ushmartim es hamatzos. So again, we do it for the first two nights of the Seder, and some do it throughout the Yontif as well. And that's the mitzvah matzah. Of course, the mitzvah matzah applies to women as well, because just like women can't eat chametz, they also have a chiyuv to eat matzah. Those two things are always connected. Maror is pretty straightforward. Most of us use romaine lettuce for maror. Some people. If you don't, well, yeah, yeah. So some swallow it all together, but it's hard to do.
So you chew as much as you can.
You can do that. You could fill your mouth with, yeah. No, I think the time does start from the time, because the timing is the question of all of your all the different achilos that you're doing merging into one shear. So that really starts with the swallowing, because that's when the shear begins. Yeah. Okay, so maror is pretty straightforward. We don't lean for maror. We know maror is to remind us of the bitterness. Most of us eat romaine lettuce. Some of us like to eat the horseradish root, which is fine. Romaine lettuce is perfectly fine. Also, one thing I would caution with maror is that also with maror, you have to have a kazayas. It is a mitzvah midrabanan, but it's a mitzvah to have a kazayas of maror. How much is the kazayas of maror? It's hard to describe exactly what a kazayas is. If you have a big leaf of romaine, one big leaf is usually a kazayas. If you have smaller leaves, you might need two or three leaves for a kazayas. But just to have a few bites of the romaine lettuce, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah properly. There is a kazayas book which has a nice picture. I think on those mats it gives you. You know, the leaves obviously are much thinner, so it takes up more area. If you're using the stalks, you know, it's a smaller area, but you do have to have the requisite shear of mar. When it comes to korech, so korech, you certainly only need one kazayas, and korech is also midrabanan, so there's more room to be lenient, but you need a kazayas of matzah and a kazayas of mar. The reason why we have korech is because there was an opinion of Hillel in the Braisa that says that this is how you're supposed to eat matzah and maror. You're supposed to eat them together, just like a matzah some maror and yochluhu, like the Torah says. The Chachamim disagreed with Hillel, and they say, no, that's only in times when you have a Korban Pesach, that's how you're supposed to eat it like that. But Bizman HaZeh, you don't eat it like that. You eat it separately. So the Gemara says, because we have this machlokes, and the halacha was never clearly decided between two Hamoraim and having understand the Rabbanan, so therefore, we do what we do. We eat matzah, we eat maror, and then we eat them together. We don't make a bracha on korech. We do say this paragraph of Zeichel Mikdash Kehillel. However, some say that because this is really a function of the mitzvos of matzah and maror, you really shouldn't be talking much between the bracha on matzah and maror and korech. So again, anything that's related to the Seder is totally fine. But Sam Tashmuz, about the ball game, about the weather, you should really wait till after korech. Okay, after this is Tzafun. You know, Shulchan Aruch, obviously not much in terms of that. But Safun, Shulchan Aruch, no shir. No shir. There is a minhag that some have to eat eggs at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. Different reasons given for that minhag. One of them, which is interesting, is that the first night of Pesach always coincides with the night of Tishma. So it's also to remember, like, the egg is a sign of Avelos. So that's one of the reasons that's given. When it comes to then after Shulchan Aruch, we have Tzafun, which is the mitzvah to Afikomen. Afikomen, we know Lechatchila is supposed to be eaten before Chatzos. So sometimes that's tricky if you're saying a lot of Divrei Torah or you have a schleppy meal. So, but you should try to eat the Afikomen before Chatzos. You do need, again, only one kezayis. There's a chumrah to eat two kezayisim, one to remember the Korban Pesach and one to remember the matzah, which was eaten with the Korban Pesach. And nowadays we have matzah and matzah. But some have two kazayas based on that. But again, if you want to be machmir, certainly 2/5 of a matzah is enough to be machmir. And after that, everything I think is relatively straightforward. Birtz Hashem together as we celebrate the Seder together, keeping the halachos properly and also understanding the proper hashkafos behind the Seder. Birtz Hashem, all of these lessons and values should be communicated not just to us and to our spouses, but also to the next generations, our children and grandchildren, who hopefully at least some family members will be with us. And Amir Tashami can continue this beautiful Masorah for many, many more generations to come. Thank you for coming.